So the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about being in the storm and how we have many storms in life that we may be in. We may be caught off guard by bad news medically or things going on with our family. Maybe caught in all kinds of circumstances, maybe at work or school, things going on that just are brutal and catch us off guard. And just as we get into today and get into the Word today, I just want to share a quote with you that I came across this week, which I thought was great for those of us walking through the storm right now. This is unrelated to the message today in any other way, but this is where we've been the last couple weeks. We never know how much real faith we have until we put it to the test in some fierce storm. And that is the reason the Savior is on board. If you're ever going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, your strength will be born in some storm. He meets us in the storms. And I hope that has continued to be your experience as you've been walking through the storms you're in. Well, moving on to today and to where we're going this fall. As I mentioned, we're getting into a new series all about the one another's of the New Testament and what it means to live in community with one another. And the New Testament gives us all kinds of great instructions about how to live with one another. Now, today we're talking about love, and I had the privilege of doing a wedding last weekend for a great couple, and had a lot of fun with it, and I love weddings because everything is so, you know, full of festivities and joy, and it's all about love, and they're in love, and everyone's just feeling like, yeah, and it's just a great moment, right? And it's one of those spaces where, as you're at the wedding, sometimes for us folks who've been married for a while, it reminds you of some of the greatness of love for one another. Sometimes our love can go through some seasons that maybe get a little bit dry, seasons where it's a little tougher, and it's nice to come back to those moments. It just refreshes that for us. So we're talking today about love, and what I want to ask you as we get into this whole question of love is, what is love like? How would you describe love? What would be some maybe words or ideas that would give us the picture today of love? And we're going to do this on the flip chart because I love the flip chart. All right, so let's describe love. Okay, I got a couple. Forgiving. And what was the other one that was? A decision. Comforting. Connection. Good. Sorry, what's that? Patient. Okay. Sorry, say that again. Abandoned. All right. Anyone else? An action. Okay. Accepting. Sorry? One more time. Commitment. Thank you. There we go. And over here? What was that one? Heard someone else. Well, okay, here, let me just, so those are awesome words, and words that would describe love, not just in a marriage relationship, really, but just love for one another. Right? Love in friendship, love in a parent-child relationship, love in all sorts of different contexts. This is the kind of definitions of what love looks like. That's great. Now, I was, just for curiosity's sake, I went on to Top 40 site this week, just Top 40 songs, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to see what they have to say about love. And so I didn't want to take too much time doing this because, you know, I have other work to do. But I looked at the top 10 songs, just to get some of the phrases or ideas about what they would say about love. So here's what I came up with. Someone who loves you is like a cheerleader. They're there for you, and you wouldn't cheat on the other person. Love feels like when I'm high on cocaine. These aren't my words, and this is not, it's just from the song, all right? I'm paraphrasing a bit. The newness of love can't endure the challenges of life. Love is about physical touch. Feelings get too close. Love is about looking good for each other, pleasing the other person with, you know, making sure you're looking all good. Love is about destiny. One song talks about checking out a girl and hoping to get her, is what love's about. And then just someone wondering, would love last if I lost everything? Would you still love me? Now, I don't know about you, but those words sound a little different than a lot of these words do. Love one another. What does it mean? Because as we read earlier this morning, Jesus said these words, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." But what does it actually mean to do that? What does it mean to love one another? What is love about? Is it the kind of, you know, society picture that we maybe see painted for us in media? Is it the stuff we see floating around with different memes and pictures on Facebook? Is it these kind of things? What does love look like? Well, if you read much in the New Testament, you come across the idea of love in a lot of different places. Some kind of big, you know, big passages where you see love quite a bit. One of them is 1 Corinthians 13, which, you know, gets read at just about every wedding you're at, or it was for quite a while. Ironically, it wasn't actually written in a context to husbands and wives, but it still talks about love. And 1 Corinthians 13 says this, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Like I said, even though it's read at a lot of weddings, these words were actually written for the way we are to love one another within the body of Christ, the church. This comes right on the heels of a great passage about spiritual gifts and how God has created the body of Christ, that's us, to function. Different people have different abilities, different gifts, different things that the Spirit has empowered us to do, but we are all supposed to live together in love like that. Being patient with one another, being kind, not envying each other, not boasting about who we are, not being proud, not dishonoring each other. Not self-seeking, not easily angered with each other, and on and on. This is what love looks like, according to what God would say about it. There's other great places to look about what love is, especially when it comes to loving one another. And another spot is in the book of 1 John. You can basically read the whole thing, because there's lots of good stuff about love in there. But let me just highlight a couple spots. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother Abel. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Don't be like those who get jealous of one another. Don't let anger and envy and hatred rise up in your heart for one another. Don't be like Cain. He let that stuff be there. He was jealous. It led him to murder his brother. Instead, love one another. By contrast, if you go a little further down, here is the contrast. This is how we know what love is. Here you go. If you want the picture, this is it. Really quickly encapsulated for us. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. There you go. What is love? Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Someone said that. Love is an action. It's not just something we say, "Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you." Put some wheels on it. It should actually do something. Love isn't just about a nice sentimental card. It's not just about a phrase. It's about what we choose to do toward one another. So there you go. Quick kind of sketch maybe of what love is about. Now Jesus says in this passage, if you caught it, he said, "A new command I give to you." A new command. I want to just, let's just pause there for a minute and unpack that thought. Because there's two things in there that I think are kind of significant. One is the fact that it is a command. A new command I give you. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't sort of a, you know what, if everything's going really well and you guys are all doing well in church, just maybe think about loving each other. All right, that'd be really great if you kind of squeeze that into all the rest of your programs and all the other things you got going on. You know, maybe in the midst of life, you can find some time to actively love one another, just as long as it's convenient. It wasn't exactly how he said it. A new command I give you. It's a command. This is what you are to be. This is, if you like, the defining characteristic of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. If you want to kind of squeeze it down to one thing that it should look like in life of what it means to follow Jesus, this is it. It's to love one another. This is the mark of what it means to be a follower of Christ. It should be obvious when you read Jesus' words there, when people look at us, they should know that we're followers of Jesus because of our love for one another. They should be able to see it. It should be clear. This is a defining characteristic, so it is a command. So let's just brainstorm a little bit. What would you say, apart from this, okay? Apart from the fact that we just heard and I just gave you the answer. Isn't that nice of me? I gave you the answer before the test. What would you say are defining characteristics for people who would be call themselves a follower of Jesus Christ, Christians? What would be some things that you would say that if I think of a Christian, this is what I think of? Okay? What would be some defining characteristics? Integrity. Okay? Respect. Okay, love. Good. Someone else I heard? Honesty. Okay. Sorry? Given. Forgiven. Okay. Now, those are some great, great characteristics. We think we're pretty good. That's awesome. Now, if you were to ask people outside the walls of this place what Christians are like, what would they say? Sorry, I missed the second one. Judgmental. You guys are going too fast. So hold on. These words are coming a lot easier. Sorry, I missed after hypocrites. What was that? Faithful? Hateful. Hateful, I heard. Okay. Okay. Let's just pause there for a second. So, that's a pretty different picture. The defining characteristic that Jesus wanted us to have as his followers was that we love one another. That should be what is noticed. That should be what is clear about who we are, is that we actually love one another. The love that we have for the other people in this building. Now, notice it's love one another. Okay? Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't love those outside of here as well, because we should. But this is the defining characteristic of who we are. As a community, there is love between us. There's not infighting. There's not jealousy. There is love for one another. So a new command. It's not a suggestion. This is who we are to be. This is what Jesus said. This is what you are to do. If you are my follower, you will love one another. Because in another spot it says, if you love me, obey my commands. This is how you're going to show your love for me. Obey my commands. Do what I ask you to do. So if we love Jesus, if we're following him, this is something that we're going to do. Now, the other thing about this phrase, a new command, that I just wanted to pause on for a second was the idea that it is a new command. Anyone else think that was a little weird? How is this a new command? I mean, there's all sorts of spaces in the Old Testament, for sure, where we could say, well, obviously the command to love was there. This is not new. This is not new news in some way. When you look at the Ten Commandments, and you break them out and kind of look at all ten, you see that the first few are all about loving God, but the last several are all about loving one another. Don't murder each other. Don't steal from each other. You know, honor your mother and father. Like, these are all things that have to do with how we treat each other and doing so in love. So how is this a new command? It's not really that new an idea to love one another and for God's people to be loving to one another. So it's not, that's not the new part. The new part, I think, is to now love as Jesus loved. In 1 John, we saw, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, right? There's a sense in which we now love, not just loving each other from these other commands, but now we love each other in the way Jesus loved us. So he set an example for us in terms of how to love. Now, when you think of how Jesus loved, okay, we're gonna keep going with this. I'm having fun with the flip chart today. So, how did Jesus love? And I want you to think of specific examples, okay? So if you can think of specific people that Jesus loved, how did he show love to them? Throw out some names of some specific people. If you don't know their name, you can kind of tell me about them. That's fine too. Okay, the woman caught in adultery, yeah. They were totally setting her up. Woman caught, I can't talk about something different and right at the same time. There we go. They had totally set her up so they could try and catch Jesus in his words. These guys were jerks to her. But she was caught still sinning, and she came, they brought her to Jesus, and he forgave her in that space when everyone else wanted to stone her. Okay, another one. Sorry, say again? Yeah, when the prostitute anointed his feet with oil. Yeah, and not pushing her away. But receiving it as an act of love for him. Absolutely. Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Choosing to get down and to serve them like a lowly servant, house servant would have done. And Jesus gets down and washes his disciples' feet, an act of service to them. Absolutely. Yeah. Met them in the storm at the right time. Okay, in the back. I see a hand up. Sent Judas off even though Judas was going to go betray him. Didn't try and stop him. Yep. Okay, there's the 5,000, and there was the man with leprosy. Yep. Now, notice something in some of these. There are people, particularly like this one, the prostitute, the man with leprosy, people who were on the margins. And Jesus reached out and didn't ignore them, didn't push them away, but reached out in love to them. He served those he shouldn't have served. He showed incredible love in so many ways to so many people. And we could go on and on. I mean, there's the woman at the well who was, again, a marginalized person sneaking out to the well so she wouldn't be seen by the city. And he just went and talked with her and cared for her. And brought forgiveness and life to her. So loving as Jesus loved, because he set a great example of what it means to love one another. But it's also because Jesus is not only the example for us to love, but he is the source of that love. This is one of the biggest things I think I've I've learned over the last year as I've gone through the Arrow Leadership Program that I've been going through. One of the biggest lessons for me was to be able to receive God's love more fully. And I know that sounds weird. I'm a pastor, right? I should have that all down. Been doing this for like 13 years, been a Christian since I was like 6 years old. So what's the deal with needing to receive God's love? As I've shared before, I had a picture of God that wasn't a God who really loved me for who I am, but a God who kind of looked down and wanted me to do stuff for him. And through this process, I've been able to receive in a much fuller way the fact that God actually loves me for who I am. And what's been amazing for me is to discover as that's happened is that I'm able to better love others now in ways that I just couldn't before. And I didn't understand the difference of it. Like I thought, well, I'm still loving other people. Yeah, maybe, but with a shallower love than I now have. Receiving more of God's love has allowed me to actually love you more. And I didn't really understand that that capacity can just grow and grow and grow, but it really can. And so there's this sense of the flow of God's love. Jesus loves us, and so therefore we are able to love others. And the more we receive the love of Christ and the more we receive God's love into us, receiving his love for who we are, we will be able to love others more. More fully and love more people. So this is a huge thing. God loves us and therefore we are able to love others. Now this is how John talks about this. 1 John chapter 4, this is a great text about loving one another. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This comes from God to us and from us to each other. But it flows from him. Love comes from God. Carries on. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And then down to verse 19, we love because he first loved us. It starts with him. And this is one of the biggest things. If we want to be able to love one another, we really need to receive the love that God has given to us. Do you know today how much he loves you? Do you know that he cares about you in the midst of the storms you're walking through? Do you know that he thought about every part of who you are when he knit you together and created you to be who you are? Do you know that he cares about where your future is headed and the places and the things he's going to take you into and the people you're going to impact and influence? Do you know he cares about all of that? Do you know the depth of God's incredible love for you? Because it starts with that. We love because he first loved us. So, as we think about this idea of loving one another today, what are some takeaways maybe for us from this? Well, here's maybe some different steps we could take. First one is to experience God's love. Have a deeper experience of God's love for you. Now, that's probably going to come in some way, shape, or form by actually spending time with God. And I'm not saying this to say, okay, make sure you read your Bible more and pray more and whatever. No, listen. Go spend time with him. There's lots of ways we can do that. For me, one of the significant ways I did that this week was I followed along with the Space for God thing that Kurt Peters puts together. He sends this to us every week. We post it on our website. You can just find it under news. But it's basically a one-page deal, and it walks you through some different scriptures, but it carves out space for you just to listen to God. And in that space this week, what I needed to hear from him and what he spoke to me was that he sees me. That's all I really needed to hear. There was a couple other things I got to, but that was the big thing. He sees me. Me. In the midst of all the problems we got going on with the Syrian refugee crisis, in the midst of everything else going on in the world, God actually notices me. He's got enough other bigger things on his plate, but still, he wanted to say that he sees me. And in that, I knew that I'm treasured and I'm loved. So go find some way to spend time with God. If you need some help, come ask. There's lots of ideas and ways you can do that. Oh my goodness. We could have some fun talking about that. But find a way to spend some time with him and allow him to show you how much he loves you. So that's the first thing. Experience more of God's love. Second thing, maybe identify some of the impediments to love. Some of the things that get in our way. Some of the attitudes maybe that we have. Some of the judgments we've made in the past. Some of the way that we've put ourselves together maybe. Maybe we need to understand better what love is about. Embarrassing story time. My embarrassing story, not yours. Just in case you're worried. This was really my first long-term girlfriend. This was not my wife now. This was my first long-term girlfriend. Let's just clarify that right away. I remember there was a time when we broke up after about 13 months of dating. And in that conversation, I remember, you know, we were talking and it was just this awful, awful, you know, those breakup conversations, they're just brutal. And no one's having any fun in that space. So at one point I said, and I, you know, maybe these weren't exactly the words that should have come out of my mouth, but I said, you know, when I said that I loved you, I didn't really understand what love meant. That's, yeah. All the women are probably going, you did what? Very insensitive thing to say, right? At the same time, there was a lot of truth to it. And at the age I was at and the stage of life I was at, I really didn't understand what love was about. That love really is, as someone said earlier, love is about a decision. Love is about a decision you make. It's about actions towards someone else. It's about putting them first, about serving them, about seeing them as higher than yourself. It's about all those kind of things, and I didn't get that. To me, love was more of a feeling thing that was more of a meeting my needs and a selfish thing. So there was a level of truth that I really didn't get love. And so maybe a part of what we need to do is get rid of some of the impediments to loving one another by actually just getting what we are supposed to be doing to one another. How it is that we can actually love one another. So experience God's love, get rid of the roadblocks, and then actually make a choice to love one another. Decide to express love. Now, you may not feel particularly loving towards someone else. You may not feel like you want to show love to the person you're sitting next to today because maybe they're a total jerk in your mind. I'll point that way. I don't know. Take your pick. But regardless of how you're feeling about them, will you choose to actually show love? A new command I give you, love one another. Will we choose to actually express love to one another? Because here's the thing. I found this true of singing worship songs sometimes, but it's also true of choosing to love one another. When we express love, sometimes that's what we need to actually get our heart to catch up with what we're doing. Are you with me? Sometimes we may not feel particularly loving, but if we start to act in love, our heart will catch up to what we are doing. I know this is true in marriage, because there are times when, you know, it's just been a day, right? And you get home, and you're both in your own world, and you're just kind of like, there's just, you know, whatever. You can be there, I'll be here, just do your thing, I'll do mine. And if you, in that moment, will choose to start showing love to the other person, your heart will catch up to that. And you will begin to feel feelings of love again for them. And so maybe what we need to do today is actually just choose to express love. To start the process of doing that so we can actually love one another. Love flows from God, and it flows down to us, and we are to love one another. So what I want to leave you with today is just the question, who do you need to show love to today? Who do you need to show love to today? Do you need to show love to someone because you need to show it to them because of something that you've been feeling, some kind of, you know, there's some angst there and you really actually just need to go express love to them? Or do you see someone who is hurting and just needs for you to show them love today? Who do you need to show love to today? Realize that it flows from God. Realize that His love came to us first. And I trust that you'll receive that love in such a deep and meaningful way today for you, so that you're able to love one another. Just take a moment and pray. And then the team's going to come back up, and we're going to take some more time in worship response and some time to process through what we've been talking about today, and maybe some time for you to reflect a little bit on who it is that you're going to go show some love to today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your amazing love that has come to us. Thank you that you showed us love first and now have called us to love one another. As we receive more and more of your love, may our capacity to love one another just grow. And may this build our community in amazing ways. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.